When you're reinforcing positivity to kids around grades, their athleticism, or how attractive they are, it makes them vulnerable because their self-worth becomes in that, and all of those three things kind of change over time. Most kids don't play professional sports.
Totally.
Most people realize somewhere around 23 that, uh-oh, grades mean nothing in real life. And if you're fighting for like looking beautiful, it's a constant game of insecurity because all of us age. So to your point, if you're complimenting kids on their energy, their ambitions, their kindness, their grit, and the words coming out of their mouth, 100%.
Passion. This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Vayner Nation, what is good? Really excited about today's podcast. I think it's always fun to understand people's journeys, use it as a reference point. I know my journey resonates for some, but some can't connect because variables are different. Sometimes you need to have the person look like you or come from the places that you came from. And so on our forever journey of finding interesting people to have conversations with, we have a really good one here today that I think is gonna work for a lot of this audience. I'm gonna let her introduce herself and give you a little bit of her background, and then I'm gonna fire away with some really fun questions and try to tap in a little bit into what and why and how. And so, Carissa, how are you?
So great to be here, Gary, thank you.
Of course.
I'm Carissa fucking Bodner, and I am the CEO of Thrive Cosmetics.
Do you go by KFB?
No, I just had to bring it because I'm on the Gary fucking V show today. My name is Carissa Bodner. I am the CEO of Thrive Cosmetics, and by the time this drops, it's going to be bigger than beauty skincare.
It's amazing. Yeah. Go deeper. What is Thrive? To just give everyone that context, and we'll go back to how we got there.
I appreciate the prompt. So very specifically, Thrive Cosmetics is spelled CAUSEMETICS, meaning that we are for a cause. Since I founded Thrive Cosmetics, we've donated over $125 million in funds and products to over 500 charities around the world.
Wow.
So that's why we put the cause in cosmetics. But honestly, we are fucking up the industry. Like, we are the biggest direct-to-consumer beauty brand in the US. We are profitable since day one. I started this out of a one-bedroom apartment, and I am only here because of the Thrive Cosmetics community, which includes our customers first and foremost. I didn't have employees for the first 3 years. Then our charities, the people who are supporting cancer survivors, domestic abuse survivors, veterans. I just got off the phone with one of our partners, Raquel, who runs Self Esteem Rising just down the road. It's all about making young women and young men feel beautiful and confident and just love themselves. And I'm so blessed. I am only here because of those people. I would have quit if I didn't have those giving partners telling me that we needed to exist. So that's Thrive Cosmetics. We're vegan, cruelty-free. We create all of our formulas from scratch. I'm a cosmetic chemist. I'm a bad bitch on the bench. That's chemistry talk for you. But I'm a philanthropist, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity to do what I do over the last 9 years at Thrive Cosmetics. We're launching our second brand, Bigger Than Beauty Skincare, where we're gonna be providing scholarships to women, underrepresented communities, to get dermatologist degrees and also esthetician's licenses, so.
Take me back to the ingredients that got you here. So when you hear all of that, when you say it out loud, mm-hmm. and if I asked you, when you hear all of that, where you're at now at this scale, what was happening in your childhood that got you here? When I think about what you said, like, were you a science nerd? When I think about what you were said, like, were you just hungry and ambitious? When I hear what you said, you know, did something happen in your family life, or did your family have a great cause infrastructure? Did something trigger that passion? Who were you at 5, 6, 7, 12?
It's a great question, Gary. I happen to think that we may have been born with a little bit of this hustle. Were you born with your hustle?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think when I think back to what I know about my grandparents and my great-grandparents, and then I think my circumstance, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I was born in the Soviet Union, and I come to the US, and we were so poor, and it was so clear that, you know, and my mom was, we were immigrants, and my mom was cheap. Mm-hmm. So, you know, very early on, I'm like, man, if I want stuff, you know, right around 10 is when it was very clear to me that, like, we weren't going to Toys R Us, yep. and I was getting something. Yeah. So, like, I vividly remember Sega Genesis. When that came out and I wanted it, and I could tell in my mom's face that I was now a big boy, yep. and she wasn't gonna buy that for me. Yeah. I think some of the hustle was instilled in parenting, and others parts of it was based on my DNA and upbringing.
So let me ask you the most important question about what you just said. were you listening to Biggie when you bought your Sega Genesis?
I wish I was, because then I'd be younger, but since I'm older, Biggie wasn't on the scene just yet. It was more KRS-One and stuff like that.
Okay,
Big
okay.
Daddy Kane.
Okay,
the Fat Boys.
We can do that, yeah.
But, you know, to your point, things like sports, merit, things like hip hop, coming up the game, those things always resonated with me because they were so close to my, you know, realities. But what about for you? What
do so, you? What, and you're going to buy the Jets, right?
That's right.
Yeah, I'm going to buy Amazon.
Is that your plan?
Yeah.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
It's a big one.
I was telling your team. I was telling it. Your team. Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. No.
But when you shoot for this, you know, moon, you can end up on the top of a mountain. And I think people limit, you know, I think it's one thing, like for me, I've always actually believed that. I have a lot of friends that I meet, acquaintances, business associates who are like, Gary, I'm going to do this. I'm going to buy Tesla, somebody said the other day. And I just looked at him, probably third time I've been around this person. I said, I could just feel that it wasn't true. It was like hyperbole. And I said, hey, do you really think that? And it was like, he took a beat and he's like, no. And I'm like, hey, I've heard you say it three times now. I've always felt that you didn't believe that to be true.
Yeah.
I'm like, you don't need to have a big goal just to have a big goal.
Totally.
But try to create the biggest goal that you actually think is obtainable.
Totally.
And like go forward. And so like people could say they could buy Amazon and Facebook and Mattel and buy a country. And if I can sense that they believe it, I'm like, that's huge because then they're gonna actually try to do it.
Totally.
I think about that a lot with goal setting.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I had people that thought it was crazy that I was going to come on this podcast. I'm like, Gary Vee doesn't even know. Like, Gary Vee doesn't even know. We're going to be like, friends. I mean, totally. I mean, we're already working together. No, I mean, I mean, it's like, so if you don't believe, then no one's going to believe. Like literally when it's crazy, this building that we're filming in, I actually used to work for the largest company here, L'Oreal.
Yeah. They were the first tenants here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even before Coach that owned the building.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was at 575. When L'Oreal bought the company that I worked for, Clarisonic, back so many years ago, I didn't even know what L'Oreal was. I didn't know to dream this big, Gary. I grew up on a dirt road. I also, speaking of immigrants, my grandmother immigrated just down the street through Ellis Island. And came over from Germany. Like, I have bad bitch energy in my DNA. Like, I'm not gonna fucking waste what Grandma Ruth and Grandma Jackie did for me.
Yeah.
Like, my Grandma Jackie was, like, she's an icon. She was an alcoholic. She was a smoker. And in her 50s, quit drinking, quit smoking, completely cold turkey, went back to school to become a drug and alcohol counselor. Like, if you have that bad bitch energy in your DNA, how can you not honor them?
I love
that. My grandma did not struggle for me to not just shoot for the moon and buy Amazon. You know what I mean? That. Like, so that's
so what was, what was happening on the dirt road? Like, really, I want to get to
this. Oh my gosh, no.
When you were 7, 8, 9,
yep.
School, sports,
yep.
Siblings, paint me a picture.
So I was born different, right? Like I was born different. I had this incessant need to create. I grew up on a dirt road, was walking door to door to my neighbors because a lemonade stand, spoiler alert, when you grow up on a dirt road and everybody's on 5 or 10 acres, like you don't yield that much profit.
You have three potential customers.
Totally, yeah. So the hustle was not happening there. So what I wound up doing actually was creating in my parents' kitchen. So I was making lipsticks. I was literally, now the statute of limitations has passed since I was literally stealing from Port Susan Middle School the toilet seat covers, Gary Vee. So next time you're on the cover of a magazine, I got you. I will get you my toilet seat covers to absorb the oil so that you look bomb as fuck on your cover. So no, I got some setting powder for you now. Fair. But like literally, like I was born with this deep passion for living and thriving. I will say though, I lost it. I was super depressed when I was in late middle school, high school. I was bullied a lot. I mean, trauma, like trauma that I'm not necessarily ready to talk about yet. Yep. But like, what's so crazy is that with Thrive Cosmetics, like I had no idea. When I started Thrive Cosmetics, I wanted to give back to women that were going through cancer. And I wanted to make them feel beautiful because I, as a makeup artist, and I'll get to that in a second, had been so fucking blessed to see the transformation in a woman's self-esteem, no matter what they were going through, and men. I mean, I've done a ton of men's makeup. So it's like, what was so powerful was that I had this vision to help people that were going through cancer because I had lost my friend to cancer when I was just 23 years old. She was 24, Christy. And it was, I wanted to create something that was about more than just selling makeup and skincare.
I get it.
Like I wanted to give back. So from the very beginning,
how long ago was that?
9 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, you were. I think one of the great things that's going on in the world is the conversation is more complex today, mm-hmm. and youngsters like yourself are growing up. I mean, wasn't even a thing mm-hmm. when I was in high school or college where companies would talk about doing something with purpose attached to it.
Yeah.
Right? It wasn't a norm. It wasn't an expectation. It wasn't an option.
Yeah.
So the fact that you have this tragic event, you have mm-hmm. this crazy thirst of an entrepreneurial spirit, the fact that you could take those two passions together
totally.
Is like a supernova.
I'm so grateful. Like that's the thing is like, I'm not supposed to be here. Like my business, the volume that we have done has a fucking B next to it. Like that's what people need to know, that you can grow up on a dirt road, you can go to community college, and if you have a community and a passion and a vision, like I was not, people think I'm an influencer now. My first Instagram was Thrive Cosmetics. Like we didn't even have a profile. My friend Kaisa had to tell me to put a fucking profile photo in there. Like I didn't have a profile photo.
I get it.
And it was this community, the Thrive Cosmetics community, that put me on and built this company from my one bedroom apartment and now giving over $125 million. Like that's the Thrive Cosmetics community.
Take us back, because we've got the big headlines that I want to make sure, what I'm basic, just so you know where I'm going with this. There's like three people. A, 50, inspired by your grandma. B, 15, inspired by you listening right now, and this is the singular podcast that changes the course of their life. That's how I think about these things. Mm-hmm. I know that to be true. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I like to do is like get one level deeper in like little nuances that are harder to sometimes find. So let me go there.
Yep.
Okay, so you have this, you know, very creative kid, mm-hmm. fire in the belly early yep. on, have this period of time where you lost your way,
yep.
trauma, da 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 da.
Suicidal. Like I was a suicidal kid. We can go there. Let's fucking go.
Listen, you're in control.
Yeah.
It's funny, when I hear something that extreme,
yeah.
what is running through your mind, like zero self-worth?
Yeah.
That much pain in your stomach?
Yes, because of trauma.
I get it.
And so what was so crazy is to grow up with this bright light inside of you.
Yes.
And also be misunderstood. Like I was like an alien in my family. Like my parents loved me, but they also didn't know what to do with me. Like this kid that's got so much energy and just wants to create and is talking to everybody. And I'm like, hey, like walking into Gary V's office, just being like, hey, what's up, man? Yeah, like, let's talk. And so, you know, I my parents put me in a lot of situations. Like they made me work for everything I got.
Huge.
Nothing was given to me. So that to me, like that's why I'm here. Like being like, if I would have had to, or if I would have, and I say had to, like if I would have just had things given to me, I wouldn't be here.
Hard to be hungry if you're fed.
Totally, totally.
You have siblings?
Yeah, older sister.
Older sister. What's your relationship with her?
She's awesome.
And you guys always were good or had ups and downs?
I mean, we're very different. We're very, 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 very different. No, I love my sister. I love my parents. And, you know, but literally everywhere I went, I mean, my grandma Ruth, she would tell me how lucky I was to be alive, how I needed to work for everything because she worked so hard to raise my dad. I mean, my dad was raised total food stamps, poverty. My mom struggled a lot.
Were the grandmas a big factor in your life?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's why I say
started with them so fast.
Totally. Yeah. And I lost my grandma. That was part of that trauma. It was a clusterfuck of trauma, if I'm being honest.
And the time. Got it. So there was a series of things
when
that
I was
happened.
12. Yeah.
And when do you feel like you started to get your head up from it?
This is my favorite story to tell. It was Future Business Leaders of America and DECA. So I was a kid with no direction. So I was this kid that was like beautiful, bright, so vivacious and so passionate about life. And then due to trauma was like suicidal depressed. And I never attempted anything, but it was serious.
Yeah, you
serious,
were just not
serious.
In a good place.
Not in a good place. Then somebody talked to me about Future Business Leaders of America. And I thought, okay. Like I grew up in this small town that was super entrepreneurial.
What town?
Stanwood, Washington, town of 5,000. Grew up on a dirt road. And those, like, I was surrounded by entrepreneurs. My parents were not entrepreneurs. My dad was a teacher, principal, administrator. My mom had a bunch of different jobs. So, like, but I was surrounded. If you wanted money, like, you had to be an entrepreneur in this community of Stanwood. And so I got involved in this this group called Future Business Leader of America. Are you familiar?
I'm not super familiar, no.
Oh, we gotta go. Like, it's epic. It's epic. So it literally transformed my life. So it's an extracurricular activity that is throughout the U.S. and you compete. And so
literally you said that and I just wanted to beat up 14-year-olds in high school in business competition.
Seriously.
Not beat up physically, like just beat them in the competition.
Okay, then you need to get involved in DECA because that's an international competition. So I got involved.
I want both titles.
So then let me tell you about my Monopoly board that I raised $25,000 when I was 16 years old. I was getting truancies, like skipping school. My parents are like, what the hell is going on? You're going to get kicked out of school. I was like, just you wait, just you wait. And then I made this Monopoly board by literally going door to door to all of the local businesses saying, I got a great marketing opportunity for you. You're going to pay me $400 and you'll get Park Place. Yep. But we named it after them.
Okay, I get it.
So I did that all throughout the town, and it was like 40, 50 people or companies that I got on there. And that paid for my cost of goods. That was the first product I made. I was 16 years old. Commercially, that, commercial
you know,
product
when
I
you
made.
Get 400 times 4, you know, 40, when you get 16, that, like when you do that, mm-hmm. was that the first affirmation of that? Like that's high scale for a 16-year-old. Mm-hmm. When you were going through that, were you getting such a high off of getting yeses from small businesses?
Yeah.
Was that like,
you're
like,
when, oh. when you're going from getting shoved into lockers, being told that you're yep. a slut, yep. all these things,
yep.
to then being on the front page of the newspaper, it doesn't matter that I was in a small
town.
Of course. Like,
it's still the
yeah,
newspaper.
Was,
right?
Yeah. And what's so sure. epic, Gary, is that $25,000, because that paid for the cost of goods. Like, and I can walk you through the full P&L of that first product that I made, that Monopoly board. It was called Twin Cityopoly. That funded, so then the sales of that, so everything was profit from there.
Of course.
It was $20 to $25, depending on if it was wholesale or sold directly
and
from
the school.
And of
course, all those businesses bought some boards to sell in their own business.
Totally, totally. Yeah, I had people autographing them. They're yeah. asking me to autograph them back then.
So cool.
And it was like, but they believed in me when I didn't even believe in myself.
So that execution got you going.
Totally. It transformed my self-esteem. And then that just propelled me. I got an internship at Nordstrom, and the person, Matt Deischer, who was my mentor, he was really...
Big shout out, Matty D.
Matt Deischer, woohoo! He's like, you're gonna be the CEO of Nordstrom. He told me that when I was 17 years old. I was like, okay, yeah, I'll be the CEO of Nordstrom. I didn't know to dream that big for myself. Like, Gary, what's so crazy is that I lived in New York. It's so crazy that I worked in New York to me, because literally I turned down career opportunities in Seattle, Washington, because I was too scared to drive there. Like, that's like, I am not, I wasn't just, I like, it. I didn't like hashtag wake up like this, but like now, like literally this morning I woke up with Let's Go by Lil Jon in my head. Like that's like literally what's going through my head now. But I didn't know to dream this big.
Yeah, I mean, most people don't. Like, you know, like even like one thing that's weird about me is I've had some fourth, fifth, sixth grade classmates who I haven't talked to in years reach out in the last decade. And they're like, oh my God, like you really did say you wanted to buy the Jets in fifth grade. But at the time, I probably thought that was like a million. Like, I didn't even know what that meant.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
you're young going yeah. through your stuff. Like, there are things today that are clear to me that weren't clear 7 years ago,
yeah.
10 years ago, 15 years ago. We're all still going. You're so young. Yeah. There's going to be, you know.
I'm Jesus age.
I get it.
It's my Jesus year.
No, I get it.
I just learned.
I yeah. know. Some of the stuff people don't, like.
I'm so grateful, though. Like, and we're going to be doing this till we're 120, Gary.
I believe it more than anything.
Okay, so how far off are we from the Jets?
You know, mentally and emotionally, not very far, financially far.
Am I invited to the party?
Well, it depends on what happens between now and then.
No, sorry, you were going to say something though.
No,
go
no,
ahead.
No, I'm having so much fun. But I want to get to your point. I want to get back on track on one thing. I'm trying to think about the building blocks. I love that story because, again, now that 15-year-old is going to think about organizations at school or at the YMCA or something they've heard of and like consider it now because they're like, wait, I want to do it because I'm a better, like I love that kind of shit. So what happens next? You're at Nordstrom's, you're learning, you have a mentor that's fucking sees that you're a fucking on
totally.
Fire kid.
Totally.
And I went through that. I was an on fire kid and a lot of people are like, you're a spaz, but then occasionally people are like, uh-oh, you're gonna do it.
Yeah.
And you latch on to those people.
Yeah.
It's why, for everyone who's listening, if you can compliment a kid.
Totally.
Especially one that you're not related to.
For this.
Yeah, for just the energy.
Not this.
The no.
For this.
Well, to your
and
point.
And for this, the mouth. Like you own who you are.
You know, it's so funny you just said that. On the podcast, she like showed her face. It's funny. I talk a lot about when you're reinforcing positivity to kids around grades, their athleticism, or how attractive they are, it makes them vulnerable because their self-worth becomes in that.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those three things kind of change over time.
Yep.
Like most kids don't play professional sports.
Totally.
Most people realize somewhere around 23 that, uh-oh, grades mean nothing in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're fighting for like looking beautiful as a man or woman, it's a constant game of insecurity because all of us age.
Totally.
Like, you know, it's just, it's really hard. So to your point, if you're complimenting kids on their energy, their ambitions, their mm-hmm. kindness, their mm-hmm. grit, and the words
passion.
Coming out of their mouth, 100%.
Passion.
So go ahead, what happens? You're at Nordstrom. Nordstrom's, you're feeling on fire, what happens next?
Almost quitting school, almost quitting community college every day. Like, literally, I graduated because Matt Dyscher was like, you have to graduate from college. You're just punching your ticket. And he was trying to talk me into an MBA, and I was like, I literally can't. Like, okay. So I went to Bellevue Community College because I didn't get into any other colleges. Yeah, I barely applied. And I mean, I'm a daughter of an educator. Like, this is kind of fucked up that I didn't, like, but I just did not.
How'd your dad deal with you being a poor student?
Not well.
Yeah.
Didn't like it.
Yeah.
Didn't like it. I love my dad, but
I get it. That was his path. I get it. That was his point of view.
And imagine my dad growing up on food stamps on a dirt house. I grew up on a dirt road. That's a come up from a fucking dirt house that he grew up in. Of course,
that was his way out. I get it.
Totally. And he's sitting here and he's like, I had to pay my entire way through college. I'm here to support you. Like, all these things. But yeah, when I went to Bellevue Community College, shout out to Bellevue Community College. And I think this is really important to underscore because especially in the zeitgeist right now, all these kids are so obsessed with what school they're getting into. And I am here to tell you that you can go to Bellevue Community College and build one of the largest beauty companies to ever exist.
Yeah, I mean, actually, I would say as someone who's a little bit older, it's way better than it used to be. There are kids that actually believe you when you say that or mm-hmm. believe me. Whereas when I was 18 or 22, it was unheard of.
Yeah.
There was zero people at 18 in America 30 years ago that thought things could be okay if you didn't go to college. Now you have a group of kids that are definitely in belief that there's entrepreneurship, creativity, creators, influence. There's many other options. The problem is sometimes it skews the other way mm-hmm. and they're like, fuck college, but they don't realize that means you have to eat so much shit.
So much shit.
And work so fucking hard.
You gotta crawl before you ball. You gotta crawl before you ball. And the dream is free and the hustle is sold separately. And that is the thing. Like, I've been doing this for 9 years and I love that for us. Like, I love that I didn't sell the company. I love that I'm here to just build, 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 give, because like quitting is actually harder for me than trying. Like I don't want, like I literally can't quit these people. Like that we named, like if you look at my eyeshadow right now, I have Raquel on me, I've got Betty on me. Like we literally name our products after inspiring people. Mm. And like, I can't quit these people. Like, because these are
you also like it.
Totally. Yeah, no. And I mean, I love the chemistry.
It was funny,
of it, like,
when you said crawl before you bought, I love that. I haven't heard that. My brain went to, literally, I didn't want to interrupt you, but my brain went to crawl, period.
Well, I can't take credit because it's Kanye West.
Got it. Yep. So crawl.
Yeah.
Crawl.
Yeah.
Like, if you love it so much, you'll just crawl.
Yeah.
You'll just fucking crawl.
Totally.
Like, to me, that is the vulnerability of so many entrepreneurs. They're so focused on balling.
Yep.
That they want to get out of crawling as fast as possible.
Yep.
Thus rendering them never to be balling.
Totally. Totally. I mean, and that's
like when you're like saying Betty's on my, like, but I'm also sitting here, I'm like, yeah, but you love it too.
Totally. Yeah. Like, it doesn't feel like work. I literally tell my team, I'm like, let's go in the motherfucking lab. Like, it's not COVID anymore. Like, I can go back on the bench and create formulas
get
again.
Me there that real is quick, because like, I'm worried my team's all over me. I don't want to run out of time. You're in Nordstrom's. When do you get into
I'll give you the Twitter version.
Go ahead.
I'll try. Nordstrom, Sephora, same time. Worked as a makeup artist, worked on the sales floor, $11 an hour. Yep. Nordstrom, I was just hustling. I was working like 50, 60 hours because if I wanted something, that's how I was able to pay cash for my
work in retail.
Totally.
Which is huge.
Which was incredible. Like literally, if it all goes away, I'll go back to Sephora tomorrow. I love Sephora. I don't want to sell our products at Sephora, but I love Sephora. It was a great experience for me. So I worked at Sephora, always wanted to be in product development. Thank God I didn't know that Clarisonic was right down the road from Bellevue Community College because I would have quit. I literally would have quit, Gary, because I was like, I'm going to do product development. Instead of doing my homework at nighttime for college, I was literally getting a D in the most basic rocks for jocks classes like environmental science and nutrition because I was studying formulations at nighttime, reading the cosmetic ingredient dictionary.
And that's my life.
Yeah, totally.
Look at this. Do you know how hard it is to get a D in, like, look at some of these grades in high school. I literally got a D in food survey. Do you understand what food survey is?
Yes.
We would just sit and put food in the microwave. Let me give you some other D. Driver's Ed, D. Do you know how hard it is to get a D in driver's ed? Like, this is insane shit. Like, I got a D in health.
Yeah, yeah, like, no, same, like, same.
Here's the
And all
one.
We had to do
you're,
was no, crush.
You're gonna love this. Say out loud what I got a D in sophomore year.
Speech, D. Good for you.
Speech.
Good for you.
Think about how insane that is.
Do you get paid to do that
like
now?
Like, genuinely actually one of the most successful public speakers in the world right now. Yeah. And I got a D in fucking speech. I get it. You were doing your passion and just trying to get by to, because Maddie D said you just need it as a backup.
Totally.
And you're like, fuck it, I will do that.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I went to night school. Like I was with there with 50 years old and I'm—
All right, so you're there because I want to get the whole thing.
Yeah, so then I worked
formulas,
for—
blah, blah.
I got whatever job I could get at Clarisonic. My first title was marketing assistant. And I was like, okay, I'll take this marketing assistant job.
And tell
job.
Everybody what Clarisonic is.
Clarisonic, it was iconic. It was Sonic Hair for your face. Yeah, L'Oreal bought it and then they shut it down, which is why I won't sell my brand.
Of course,
so, you love L'Oreal. Love L'Oreal, Carrie Hamilton. I love you, but like,
you
no,
you
like, I'm not doing that. I literally cannot quit these people who have, like, our customers are our greatest investors, partners.
Let me completely switch the vibe from the youngsters on the come up to the people much further along, right here in this spot. When you so emphatically say, "I'm not going to quit Betty,"
Betty.
I hear you. No bullshit here. This is actually a fun question because I deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
Are you scared to ever get an offer that is so insane that it's gonna put your back against the— like, do you realize when you're so emphatic publicly that I'm never gonna sell, that it eliminates options that may matter to you when you're 43, 57, 60? Like, how do you think about that?
You understand what I'm saying? Oh, of course, yeah. I mean, how big of an offer you think I've turned down for this company?
$1 billion value.
More commas that I can literally fuck up some commas.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was
But you're extremely in that prime spot right now. So like
the first 9 years of Thrive Cosmetics were not as good as they are right now.
No shit. Yeah. But you're in a great— like, you're in a fun spot right now. Like, the building up is the best. Like, when you're that person.
Yeah.
The life cycles that you're still to go through may create scenarios where you may want the options. And like, I always think about, like, when I basically tell my whole company, if I ever sell Vayner, you have to quit the next day, because no matter what I say, it won't be the same company.
Totally.
When you dig yourself in that hole, I always think about the mindset of that. That's truly burning the boat.
Yeah, totally. And I love it. I love it. I didn't start this journey. I mean, I can walk you through every M&A transaction that has happened since 2014. I know all the numbers in my head.
Of course.
All the numbers in my head. And yeah, I'm the industry baby, like Lil Nas X. So I am the industry baby. I started when I was 25. Like, and now I'm the industry. Like, we are the industry. It's not me.
I get it.
So first of all, I reserve the right to change my mind at any time.
Love.
But I am here to tell you that Carissa Bodner has turned down the offers that she would have thought when she was 10 years old, 13 years old, 15 years old, 25 years old. Yeah. I didn't. If I sell, I'm quitting. If I sell, it's because I'm quitting, because I don't think I can do it anymore. That's the thing. It's like, and I can't quit Betty. I can't quit Raquel. I can't Nolly. I mean, some of the people that—
Because I'm going to run out of time. What was the, if I asked you, why were you able to get this big? From a marketing product strategy standpoint, what do you think are the one or two bullet points that you saw in the last 9 years that the competitive set did it?
Maniacal focus on formulation and giving back. Like, I've never wavered in that. It's not a trend.
Right.
We are not a trend. We're not a trend. A trender. Yeah. Like, literally, that's who we are. The amount of people that have said that this is a marketing trend or whatever, like literally, we develop our formulas from scratch. You cannot— the amount of times— shout out to L'Oreal for buying Thrive Cosmetics products to try and reformulate them at the lab that I motherfucking worked at. We block those orders. We're 100% D2C. I got turned down. And also, so maniacal focus. You can drown an opportunity. Yep. We know that. And an excellence in product and customer service. We're not perfect. Also Nobody just is. Knowing that we're not perfect and being willing to evolve. And like, I mean, Bigger Than Beauty skincare is a 40% reduction in the plastic that we have from Thrive Cosmetics, because we've heard loud and clear we need to be more sustainable. Like, I am only here because of our customers.
Yeah, you learn that at retail.
I learn it every day.
Of course.
But
I want to jump in here. I apologize, because I want people to hear this. Going retail is a monster win, because at Sephora and Nordstrom's, you learn very quickly that if you listen to them, you will sell them shit.
But we don't sell at retail.
I know you don't.
Yeah.
But you're listening to your customers.
Yes.
I know.
Yes.
No. I know that you don't sell at retail, but you sell product to consumers.
But that's the thing with the beauty industry. They listen to Sephora. No disrespect to Sephora. Love them. Nordstrom, they should not be driving your product pipeline. Your customer should. You should. And that's the issue with all the other beauty brands.
Of course, because for L'Oreal and Procter and for all the biggest brands in the world, that's their distribution.
Yeah.
The retailer has the leverage.
Totally.
When you're DTC, nobody has leverage but your customer.
Totally.
You're listening to your customer because you have no fucking choice.
Yeah. And also because it's a privilege. It's a privilege.
Of course.
And it is a pleasure. I get some of the best ideas from our community. We literally developed a sunscreen with Beauty to the Streets, Shirley. Rains, she's a star. You should have her on your show. She has literally humanized the population of Skid Row. And we get to do that together with her. She said, Chris, I need a sunscreen. I need it to be a bomb ass sunscreen too. So that's what we developed. Filtered Effects SPF 37. That's literally what is happening with our giving partners. And it's so magical and it's such a privilege. And for somebody who just wanted to work in the industry, just wanted to develop products, the fact that I get to develop products, give back. Literally, we started a scholarship with Breonna Taylor's family in University of Louisville. How can I quit that? How can I quit that, Gary? How could I ever do that?
Like you said, you were tired and you decided to quit, but until then, you do it forever.
Yeah.
Take a beat here because we're wrapping up. What didn't we touch on that you want to touch on for the audience?
That you can literally be anything you want to be at any age. I was 25 years old and so many people were like, who's running your company? I'm the only C-level executive Thrive Cosmetics has ever had. You can be whoever you want to be.
Still to this day?
Yeah. I'm going
to
hire...
You're scared to give somebody a C-suite title?
No, not at all. No, because I couldn't afford employees. So
yeah,
literally, I've been... but Gary, you can throw bodies at a problem, but I care about our company culture. And it's been an ebb and flow. And So I have a VP layer now and I'm working on building out the C-suite. But you can be... whoever you want to be. You're never too young or too old to be
not.
Who you or too old to be who you wanted to be.
Agreed.
Do you know Train with Joan on Instagram? She's 77, didn't move her body until she was 70. She was overweight, couldn't move her body. She runs 10 miles per hour on the treadmill.
Unlimited stories.
Yeah.
Unlimited.
So it's to me, that's my inspiration is Train with Joan. I want to be Train with Joan. It's for me, I never want to stop grinding. And I am so, so driven by this beautiful community of charities that we get to support and our customers. Because again, I am only here because of them.
I get it.
So,
thank you for being on.
Thank you so much, Gary Vee.